About 5 years ago, I was blessed to be present at the ordination of Bishop Rivetuso when he was ordained a bishop at the Cathedral Basilica of St. Louis. And if you've never seen an ordination of a bishop before, there's probably a few elements that would be different from any other kind of ordination you might be familiar with. Now, what makes him a bishop? The ordination itself, the sacrament being conferred, would be the laying on of hands and the praying of the prayer of ordination. But some of the unique elements in the ordination of a bishop is that during that prayer of ordination, the book of the Gospels is held upside down over his head. Sounds kind of strange, but it's true. And then he also receives a ring and a pastoral staff, as well as a mitre. The ring is a sign that he is married to his diocese. The pastoral staff shows that he is the shepherd of his diocese and responsible for the sheep entrusted to his care. And the mitre, the pointy hat, is a sign that he has authority as a servant leader for the people of his diocese. Now, this might seem a little strange for saying that the bishop is the shepherd for the believers in the area. Didn't we just hear in our gospel passage about how Jesus is the shepherd? So how does this work? Well, Jesus chose his 12 apostles. It's very clear in scripture that he did that. And then he sent them out, sharing his mission with them to spread the good news, to draw people to God. So clearly Jesus is making the apostles a kind of shepherd as well, or he's sharing his mission as shepherd with the apostles so that they can continue to work on his behalf. And even though Jesus ascended into heaven, he is in and with the apostles, strengthening them, continuing to shepherd the people, to shepherd his sheep, his followers. They are configured to him because they were ordained at the Last Supper. But we also see in the Acts of the Apostles, earlier in the Acts of the Apostles, that the 11 selected Matthias to take Judas's place. And so Matthias became an apostle as well. And then Jesus appeared to Paul and drew him in to be an apostle afterwards. And so Jesus is making the apostles shepherds. The apostles weren't bound to any particular territory. They would go all throughout the known world, spreading the good news, performing miracles to back up their claims, and drawing people towards Christ, helping them to have faith, hope, and charity. We hear about some of the adventures of the apostles in the Acts of the Apostles. And today, in our first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, we hear about Paul and his adventure in Antioch with Barnabas. Initially, he was successful as he preached the good news. The people were drawn in. They were interested. They were believing that Jesus is the Messiah. But then the Jewish leaders became jealous when they saw how effective Paul was being. And so they started to contradict him and turn the people against him. It might sound familiar. Very similar thing happens in the Gospels to Jesus as he is preaching the good news. Scribes and Pharisees try to turn the people against him. But when the Jewish community does turn away from Paul and Barnabas, they decide they're going to continue the mission for the Gentiles and draw them into the church, to which the Gentiles were very pleased about that. And when they were driven out of the town, they continued their mission going to the next place. But they had established the Christian community there in Antioch. And that community needed to continue to be cared for, even though the apostles had moved on to continue spreading the good news. And so the apostles were the ones who, by the grace of God, came up with the three ranks that we see: deacons, priests, and bishops. At first, they did everything themselves. They served the people, they preached the good news, they would oversee the community. But as the community of Christians grew, they had to relinquish or let go of some of their responsibilities. And so the first thing that they commissioned deacons for, or ordained deacons for, was service. So the lowest responsibilities of distributing the goods of the church to the widows and orphans and other acts of service were given to the deacons so that they can continue the higher things that they needed to attend to, spreading the gospel and overseeing the community. But we also see that the community of believers, after that community was established in this new area where they've preached and they've moved on, they needed someone to watch over them, to lead them, to continue the preaching and help them grow in the faith. And so the apostles established the order of presbyters, or in other words, priests. But as their community continued to grow, they were no longer able to oversee all of these different priests all over the known world themselves. They had to relinquish those responsibilities too, and they did that to the order of bishops, who were the overseers of the priests in a given territory or region or area. So perhaps one of the easiest examples that we can see of one of these bishops that are established by the apostles would be Timothy. St. Paul writes to Timothy in two different letters, and in his first letter, he gives Timothy instructions regarding how to select new bishops and deacons, and he also instructs him in the same letter how he should be overseeing the presbyters, the priests, and advises him not to be too hasty in the laying on of hands and ordaining new men to the service. Clearly, Paul is sharing his authority as the shepherd with Timothy to be a shepherd for that local community. And Timothy was the bishop of Ephesus. And so we see that Jesus established the apostles, and the apostles then established deacons, priests, and bishops for the sake of the service of the church and the community at large. So the bishops being the highest ranking members of the church, following the apostles, when the age of the apostles had passed, the bishops were the remaining leaders. They were the successors of the apostles and continued the work of the apostles in sharing the good news in their particular area and the local church. So we here are in the local church of St. Louis, which is also referred to as the Archdiocese of St. Louis. Our bishop is Archbishop Mitchell Rozanski. And at every Mass, we show our connection with the Archbishop during the Eucharistic prayer when the priest says, "And Mitchell, our Bishop," which follows quickly after we had said, "Francis, our Pope." So we're showing our connection with the Pope, who's supposed to be the source of unity for the entire community, all of the believers. And then we also show our connection to the local bishop who oversees the community here. But why do we call him an archbishop if we just said there's an order of bishops? I think a third grader once asked me, is it because we have an arch in St. Louis? No, that's not the reason. Archbishop because it's an archdiocese, and an archdiocese helps and assists the other dioceses nearby that are associated with it. And so if it's an archdiocese, the bishop of the diocese is then an archbishop. And so we have Archbishop Mitchell Rozanski overseeing our local community here. But it's not just those who are Christian, those who are Catholic. He's responsible for all the souls within his territory. Even if they're non-believers, even if they're atheists, God will hold him accountable for what he has done to draw them to himself. God will hold the bishops accountable for how they have sought out to evangelize and spread the good news within the area that they are responsible for. And so it's quite an undertaking for a bishop, a huge responsibility that he has to care for every soul in his diocese. Archbishop Rozanski has decided that in order to better serve the community, we needed to go through some strategic planning. And we've all heard already of the strategic planning called All Things New, where the diocese is going to seek to better evangelize and to be better stewards of the resources entrusted to our care so that we can serve the community better and draw more people to Christ. And so the bishop is the shepherd of his diocese. He's responsible for all those entrusted to his care. His authority is passed down to him from his predecessors, all the bishops before him, and then also the apostles who got their authority as shepherds from Jesus himself. The bishop, when he receives the crozier at his ordination, The crozier, as you may know, looks a lot like a shepherd's staff. On one side, there's a hook, and on the other side, it's kind of pointy. And for shepherds, they would have their shepherd's staff, their crozier, and they would use it to care for the sheep. The side with the hook, they would draw the sheep back away from danger, and the side with the pointy end, they would drive away all those who would seek to harm or attack the flock. And so our bishops are called to be our caretakers, to keep us out of danger, to keep us away from error and heresy, and to keep those who seek our destruction away from us and protect us from them. But this, again, is a huge responsibility. And we know that not all bishops are good at their jobs. Not all bishops are caring for their flock as well as they are called to by Christ. And if we even look at their predecessors, the apostles, one of the 12 had gone astray, had betrayed Jesus himself. And so if the apostles, who were given special graces above and beyond the bishops themselves, had difficulties, if one of them could go astray, so too can their successors, the bishops. So not only do they have that huge responsibility, but they also need to be protected by God through our prayers to prevent them from leading people astray themselves. So it's important for us to pray for our bishops that they imitate Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, who's willing to lay down his life for his sheep, that our bishops would follow that example, keeping us from danger and warding off danger. So let us pray for our bishops, especially Archbishop Mitchell Rozanski, as we prepare ourselves to meet Jesus Christ in the Most Holy Eucharist.